If you have your Bible today, if you would turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, we'll be looking at verse 22. Sort of focusing on this question today. What is more important, who we are or what we do? Here's how one author answered that question. Down through history, the predominant viewpoint has been what we do determines who we are. We've all heard the old adage, you are what you eat. This isn't a new school of thought. Aristotle wrote, we are what we repeatedly do. A recent TED Talk declared, you are what you tweet. I think Aristotle said that originally. Each one of these proclamations, while carrying a significant nugget of truth, gets the core message of the gospel backwards. Frank Zappa, of all people, got it right. You are what you is. In other words, it's not what we do that determines who we are. Rather, who we are determines what we do. This is the biblical paradigm. This is what Jesus taught. I like the way Dallas Willard put it. The most important thing about a man is not what he does, it is who he becomes. Today we're wrapping up our series about seeking God and knowing God. God calls us to seek Him and know Him so that we can become the person He created us to be. Our heart will become like His heart. And out of those inward changes will come the outward actions. Now this is where we belong, in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We meet Him. As we come to Him in faith and in repentance, and we can walk with God for the rest of our life. So the best thing we can do for ourselves, the best thing we can do for the world around us, is to devote our time and our energy and our effort towards seeking God. Because as we do that, He changes us. That is the best way to live. Now, in week one of this series, we talked about seeking God's face. That is, seeking His presence. Day in and day out, throughout the day, we turn our eyes toward Him again and again and acknowledge His presence, realize that He's with us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about seeking God's hand, which is seeking His protection, His power, His provision. Seeking God is not just a mountaintop experience where we stand up there and we sing together, looking up into the sky. It involves surrendering everything we have to His Lordship. That involves repentance, obedience, persistence. And then last week, we looked at really some of the basics of knowing God as we celebrated the Lord's Supper together. And we asked that question, are we an admirer of Jesus Christ or are we a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, today we're talking about seeking the heart of God. The heart of God. Seeking the heart of God means to live according to His priorities. One writer put it this way, that which matters most to God becomes that which matters most to you. In seeking that which matters most to Him and living according to His priorities, we're drawn into that deeper relationship with Him. This is how David is described. If you look at Acts 13:22, it says, after removing Saul, He, that is God, made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. His desire was to do everything God wanted him to do. David had God's priorities at heart. And so today I want to talk about three things that matter to God. Three things that we could put at the top of our priority list because these are at the top of God's priority list. Now, this is not an exhaustive list by any means, but it's a good foundation and a good start. First of all, if we want to seek God's heart, we're going to love as God loves. We'll love as God loves. When Jesus was asked what is the greatest of the commandments, His answer was very straight, very simple to the point. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. the Christian life before it's about anything else is about love. Jesus said, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Paul said, the greatest of these is love. Love needs to be the driving force behind all that we do. So we worship God. We gather together and we come together to worship God. Hopefully we're doing this on our own every single day, but we worship God. Why do we do that? Because He's worthy? Absolutely. Because we're commanded to? Yes. Both are good reasons. And one step higher on the scale is to worship God because we love God. Whatever we love is going to be a priority to us. Whoever we love is going to be a priority to us. It's not about obligation. It's about celebration. Please understand, I'm not just talking about momentary emotion here and there. I'm talking about this lifelong connection you have with God, and you want to be with Him, and you want to know Him. We celebrate our love through Him, for Him through worship, through a spirit of gratitude, through recognizing He is the giver behind every good gift. It's one thing to step outside in the morning and say, this is really a beautiful day. But it's another thing to step outside and say, God, thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us. It's not just the wording that's different. It's having a view of the world that is fed, it is fueled by your love for Him, your connection to God. He not only wants us to love Him, He also wants us to love others. You have never met a single person who is not loved by God. Every person you've ever met matters to God. And in the same way that God loves those who go to church every single Sunday to sing His praises, He loves those who wake up on Sunday morning who are just too hungover to even get out of bed. In the same way that He loves those who think about Him and seek Him every day, day and night, He loves those who don't even give Him a second thought. In the same way that God loves you, He loves that person next to you. A person who may get on your nerves. That person whose faults you think they're much more visible than mine. That person who looks different, or they talk different, or they think differently than you. And by the way, God's dream for that person who does not know Him is not just that someday they'll know Him and that they'll walk with Him, but His goal is someday they will become like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's the journey that we're all on together. Just as God wants your life to be all about your love for Him, He wants your life to be about your love for others. Even to the radical extent of loving your enemies, those people who treat you badly, those people who wouldn't give a second thought about you. Loving those even that Jesus called the least of these in society. Loving your enemies doesn't mean that you surrender to your enemies. It doesn't mean that you give up any personal boundaries. We need those. But it does mean that when you have the chance to do good for someone who doesn't wish you well, or for someone who refuses to be your friend, well, you're going to do it. Because it's a priority. Seeking the heart of God means that you live with the attitude that says, I want to make my life about love. Loving God above all else and loving others as I love myself. Well, that attitude leads us to the next priority that I want us to consider. Seeking the heart of God means that we're going to live a life of serving others. It's not enough to say, well, of course I love people. I mean, words can't describe the feelings I have for all of mankind. But you know, we have to love people individually. We can't just say, well, I love everybody as long as they don't get in my way. You know, that's not what it's meant by loving others. It's the wrong attitude. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. One of the central priorities of God is that we devote our lives to serving others, just as Jesus did when He walked this earth. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Our lives are to be about service. That's why Peter said, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others. Saying that whatever God has given you, in terms of resources, in terms of talents, in terms of skills, in terms of education, opportunities, don't use them just for yourself. Use them to serve others. At a routine traffic stop just a couple years ago, it's a 5-year-old girl named Mackenzie Brown. She sacrificially gave up her favorite toy, it was a stuffed moose, to a Pennsylvania police officer. And she was hoping it would keep him safe. Now, the police officer said, she's holding a stuffed moose out of the window and trying to give it to me. I tried to politely say, no, thank you, but was told she wanted me to have him so that he could keep me safe. Clearly, there was no way to say no to that. So the officer took Mr. Moosey. And for a short time, he held on to him. And then he decided to pass along this stuffed animal to different first responders, like other police departments, fire departments, other folks like that. And so Mr. Moosey began to visit all these different places and all these different groups. And it became a hit. There was a story in a Cincinnati newspaper last year about discovering that the moose had made visits to Chicago and in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New Hampshire. And he was serving alongside people like air marshals, National Guardsmen, fire departments, police officers. And there's a Facebook page. It's called Mr. Moosey's World Tour. And if you go there, you'll see recently he's been in British Columbia. He's been to some police departments there, fire departments there. You can see where all he's been. Now, put your phone away. Don't look it up right now. But later, go to Facebook and you can look up Mr. Moosey's World Tour. The point of that is our service to others, seeing what we can give to others, seeing how we can help others, it may impact the lives of people beyond what we can imagine. You don't know how far the ripples may go. Can you imagine how work could be revolutionized if there were just a few people with that kind of attitude toward customers and coworkers? What can I do for you? How can I help you? Can you imagine how marriages and families could certainly sort of turn right side up if somebody stepped up and said, my role in this family is to serve. What can I do to help you? Can you imagine the impact the church could have on the community if our attitude became, we're here for you. What can we do for you? Jesus said, in effect, just as I came to serve others, I'm calling you to do the same. It's also why he said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Seeking the heart of God means that we care most about what God cares about. And he cares about serving others. Now, there's one more priority that I want us to look at today. God wants us to love, God wants us to serve, and he wants us to obey. Seeking the heart of God means that we're going to pursue a life of holiness. When God chose David to be king, he said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. The New American Standard Bible puts it this way. He will do all my will. He'll do all my will. See the connection? A man or woman seeking after God's own heart will do his will, whatever God asks him to do, whatever that may be. His goal for you, believe it or not, is nothing short of perfection, that you become just like his son, Jesus Christ. Read Romans 8:29, you see that. Our permanent transformation will not happen until Jesus returns. Until that day, he wants us to engage ourselves in that process of becoming more and more like him every day of our lives. So he wants us to be serious about obedience. He wants us to be serious about holiness. He wants us to be serious about doing all his will. And holiness is far more than just avoiding certain behaviors. It's more than avoiding certain actions. It's more than, well, I don't do these bad things. Doesn't that make me a holy person? No, that was the attitude of the Pharisees. And you know what was wrong with their hearts. Holiness is more than morality. Morality is certainly part of it. But it's far more than that. Holiness means that we belong to God. It means that He has our will and our mind and our heart. That He has all of us. Now, another point we sometimes misunderstand, God's priority for you is that you become holy. And as far as you're concerned, your holiness matters more than anyone else's, as far as you're concerned. And what I mean by that is this. After the resurrection, Jesus spent some time alone with Peter. He restored him back into his place, into his leadership. He challenged him to move forward into the future, warning him, you know, you're going to face some tough times in the days to come. And Peter looked over at John and said, what about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. In other words, Jesus was saying, John's got his own journey. He's got to follow me too. But that has nothing to do with your relationship with me. In this conversation, what matters most is the person, Peter, that you are willing to become. There are a lot of people who want to make their lives and their ministries about the holiness of others. Or to be more specific, the lack of holiness of others. They claim to be speaking for God, but all they do is point fingers at everybody else. I want you to know that as far as you're concerned, God is most concerned with the person that you're becoming in your journey into holiness. God's priority for you is not that you become the world's critic, but that you become an example of what God can do in somebody's life, how He can transform somebody, how He can change somebody who seeks Him above everything else. So seeking the heart of God means that you go all out to build your life on His priorities. And the foundational priorities of God is that you love Him, you love others, you serve others, and every day you move in that direction of holiness, seeking to become more like His Son, living in obedience in everything that God wants you to do. Seeking God is more than just standing on a mountaintop, overwhelmed with emotion as we gaze into the heavenly skies. Now look, mountaintop experiences are important. They can be transformational. They can set us into a new chapter in our walk with God. Go to the mountaintop as often as you can. But that's not all there is to seeking God. We live and we work and we have our relationships in the valley, in the deeper places. Not on the mountaintop. We deal with loving God and loving others and serving others and daily holiness in the middle of the grind that just goes on week after week after week. That's where we see how it's cutting it. To paraphrase from Paul's life, seeking God means that we leave the desert and we go back to ministry in Antioch. That's what Paul did. He was called to leave the desert. Yeah, you've had this time with God out here. It's time to go to work with people now. Go to Antioch so that you can start serving others in the name of Jesus Christ. Seeking the heart of God means that you determine to build your life on His priorities so that what matters most to Him becomes what matters most to you. What matters most to Him. We want you to love Him and love others. If you struggle with that, pray about that. Bring that to Him. Confess that to Him and say, God, here's where I'm struggling with loving you or with loving somebody else. He wants you to serve others. Pray about that. Go to Him about that. God, you know, there's sometimes I just don't really want to serve. I still have a lot of selfishness that I'm dealing with. Bring that to God. Confess it to God. And He also wants you to walk on that path to holiness, ready to do all His will. And if there's a part of His will, you know this is what He's called you to do. You know this is something He wants you to be doing. And you keep putting it off or you push it aside, bring that to God today too. Confess that to Him and say, God, I've been struggling with doing this, but I need to get this right. And I need to do all of your will. And in doing this, we're saying, God, doing what matters most to you matters most to me. And on this, I will build my life. And God will be able to say, here is a man, here is a woman after my own heart. That's my challenge to you this week. Look at those three things. Bring them to God. Talk to God about them. And wherever you're missing it, let His Spirit show you. Then you confess and you put it right to the very best of your ability and with His help. Let's pray together. Father, in the coming days, we pray that Your Spirit will reveal to us where we're struggling with these things. If we're holding back from loving You, holding back from loving others, if we don't serve because of whatever the reason may be, if we're not doing all of Your will because we're holding back part of our lives, Father, show us that. Reveal that to us. And help us to bring it to You, to confess where we're wrong, to repent, that is, to change our direction with Your help, by the help of Your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.